I wonder if there would be some requirements for revival. Brother Gibson, would there be some requirements if we'd have a real revival? I figured he'd shake his head that way. You know, a lot of times it's not great big things either. Most of the time it's just little things that keep us from having revival. Somebody said it's not the mountains ahead that wear you out, but it's that little grain of sand in your shoe. And if we'd take care of that little grain of sand, we could make a lot better progress, couldn't we? Our text is verse 5, and this is the only verse in these 10 verses that is not written in red. I know the beginning of verse 1 is not written in red, but notice this text. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I believe they were probably saying, Lord, give us a revival. If we could get our faith increased like the Lord wanted to increase these apostles' faith, why, we would have revival. Amen. However, I don't believe they said it like that. I don't believe they said, Lord, increase our faith. I believe they took a great big sigh. Said, Lord, increase our faith. I want to notice why they made that statement. Brother Ziegler, would you stand and ask God's blessing on the word?
Father, we need your help as Brother Newton opens up your word to us tonight. You have given him a message. The message that you have given him is for us, as you knew before he came who would be here tonight and what our needs are. Give him that anointing that he needs to preach. Pray, Lord, that you would give us the anointing that we need in our ears and our heart that we might be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to read these first 10 verses, and we'll make some remarks as we go along. What was it that led up to the statement that these apostles made? Lord, increase our faith. This is a hard scripture. It's a scripture that's almost uncharted territory. And you have to note the context and what led up to that statement in order to understand it. Notice verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. That's quite a statement coming from the Lord Jesus himself. He said it is impossible but that offenses will come. Are those things that bring about misunderstanding between God's people? You know, those things that build a wall or a barrier between you and another Christian, or maybe between you and your husband, or your husband and your wife, you know those. He said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. Misunderstandings. And you know, most of the time, offenses, I mean, they're not on purpose. I don't think many people want to offend somebody just on purpose. Most of the time, it's because of misunderstanding that offenses come about. And And really, I guess there would be some people that are mean enough or carnal enough until they'd want to offend somebody. He said, but woe unto him through whom they come, and especially if there's no attempt made to correct them. He said it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, we all know that when he was talking about the little ones, he was talking about young converts, babes in Christ. He could have even been having reference to children or young people. You know, I've seen children and young people that were greatly offended because they saw something take place among holiness people that should never have happened. I remember one lady, she was a young convert, married woman, attended a worldly church, but she got in a old-fashioned holiness church and God convicted her and she got saved. And then she wanted to ride to church with my parents, and she started coming to the church that we attended. And one night, on a Wednesday night, they had a quarterly meeting, and in that business meeting, there was a brother that didn't get his way. Of course, you've never seen anything like that. When somebody can't have their way, he blew up. He had an old carnal spell. And she was there and she saw that. You know what? She made the statement. She said, oh. She said, I didn't know holiness people acted like that. And friend, to my knowledge, she never came back to that church again unless it was for a funeral. Could I say to you very gently and sweetly tonight, holy people don't act like that. Now, there are those among holiness people that do have an old carnal spell every now and then. And friend, that's tragic because, brother, an offense like that caused this young convert to turn away from the holiness church. Then Jesus said, take heed. Or in other words, he said, if you know of an offense, do something about it. Take heed to yourselves. He said, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, or don't let it hang. He said, make it known to him. And do your very best to clear up the offense. You know, that's sort of like what Jesus said over there in Matthew 15. Matthew 18:15. Jesus said, if thy brother trespass against thee, he said, go and talk to the pastor about it. And see if you can get some sympathy from him. Tell him how mean he treated you. And if you can't get any sympathy from him, go to the Sunday school superintendent, and if he's on the pastor's side and won't give you any sympathy, go to that spiritual woman in the... In other words, Jesus said, just go around and get a click going. Do everything you can to show everybody else how dirty he treated you. No, friend, it doesn't say that. Jesus said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Said, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, the Lord was telling us how to clear up our offenses. He was showing us a way to clear up the misunderstanding. But did you know tonight, friend, this is one of the hardest passages of Scripture for us as holiness people to obey of any that I know about. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. Keep everything cleared up. This is hard even for homes, I mean for husbands and wives, because there are those barriers sometimes that come up. There are those offenses that happen in the home. And you don't get angry with each other and retain holiness. And you don't get that grudge and unforgiving spirit and retain holiness. No, you immediately back off, humble yourself, and get the matter cleared up. I'll tell you, that's pretty good teaching from Jesus Christ, isn't it? He said, and if he repent, forgive him. Go to him. Do your best to clear up the offense. And if he repents, said, forgive him. You know, a lady came to my wife some time back. She was trying to let her know some of the liabilities of her husband. And she was just pouring out her heart. Said, you know, said, I have a good husband, but said, she said, you know, said, he will, when he knows he's wrong, said, he will come back and humble himself and ask for forgiveness. Why, she said just the other day, said, he came to me and said, I'm sorry, and asked for forgiveness. She said, I looked at him and said, no need for you to come and ask for forgiveness. Said, you're going to turn around and do the same thing again. You know, evidently the Lord knew there was some fellows like that, because he said if they come trespass seven times in a day and seven times in a day come back and say, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me. He said, what do you do? You forgive them. This is when the disciples took a deep breath. I think they said, Lord, increase our faith. Because you remember Peter came to the Lord one time and said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Or in other words, the Lord said, you're to have a heart full of forgiveness toward your brother or your sister all the time. Friend, this would bring revival in our churches. If we had a heart full of forgiveness toward our brothers and our sisters. Don't you like the way the Lord answered them? You see, the Lord didn't put them on a guilt trip. He didn't condemn them. The Lord just sort of showed them how to get on track and then stay on track. Notice what he said. I love this. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. In other words, the Lord said to him, you have so little faith because you're so slow to obey. And then he gave this illustration of a master and servant. He said, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Or in other words, Jesus said, here's a master. He has a servant. The servant goes out here and works in the field. He comes in, goes to the barn, takes care of all the chores. And then when he gets back in, the master looks at him and said, my, you've been working so hard. You look so tired. I said, just forget about me and go ahead and get you something to eat, and then later on you can take care of my needs. No, friend, that's not what he said. Notice verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, he said, it's the servant's place to first serve his master, no matter what the circumstances are. It's our place to first serve our master and obey him. Notice verse 9. Jesus said, "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I should say not." Notice verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." In other words, the Lord said, "You boys want your faith increase? Is that what you fellows want?" He said, "Then all you have to do is obey me." He said, "Go to that brother or that sister. Go to that individual where there's an offense. Do your very best to bring about reconciliation and forgive them." Friend, isn't that simple? The Lord wants us to go to our husband or our wife or our brother or our sister, fellow minister, whoever it is. He wants us to go and do our very best to bring about reconciliation, clear up the offense, break down the wall, the barrier that's there. And then he said, "Your faith will be increased." Did you ever see anybody that obeyed the scripture? I mean, they decided they weren't going to tell everybody else and spread that they went to their brother or their sister because there was an offense there. And you know, after they talked with them, and especially when both sides cooperate, after they talked with them for a little while, it just seemed that God settled down. His presence was so real. Got the offense cleared up, and they were shouting happy. Revival came in their soul. I mentioned it to you, I'm sure, before, but I was at Penn View Bible Institute in 1995, and I placed in my notes, I said, "The greatest revival and move of God that I have seen thus far in the ministry." And friend, it was. If I recall correctly, they had about 220 students at that time. That included the academy. And there were several churches in the area, and the people came out. So we'd have around 250 to 300 people every night. And I'll tell you, God came in such a miraculous way. There were five services when there was no preaching. It just, the glory of God was there. And every night the service went till, except the first night. But every night after that it went till midnight. One night 12:30. I think one night it lasted till 1 o'clock. Now friend, something supernatural, unusual has to be taking place. When you have people that will come in at 7 o'clock for the prayer service and then stay till after midnight in a 10-day meeting, something supernatural has to be taking place. And then you couldn't hardly run them away. They stood and rejoiced and talked and fellowshiped. But I'll tell you, there was so much of God, the glory of God would just roll across the congregation. And it wasn't anything that was worked up. I mean, it was so genuine until you would just stand back in awe and see God move. I saw about 25 young people on their feet up and down the aisles, rejoicing, shouting in some of the services. Sometimes we'd have an altar service, and then they'd get up and testify, and then the glory of God rolled back across the congregation, conviction settled in, the altar would line again. And some services, we had three altar services. I was told that every young person either prayed through to salvation or sanctification in that meeting. Friend, that was such a wonderful meeting. I think it was the second or third night I had preached, and about a dozen young people came to the altar. And I was getting ready to go down off the platform to help pray around the altar, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, son, said, I'm going to show you what it takes to have revival. Now, I don't know whether that would thrill you or not, but I'd been preaching for years. And friend, that thrilled me to the extent it hit me so hard, I took two or three steps backwards. And I said, Lord, please show me. And you know, there was a young girl, I don't know how old, about 16, 17, I guess. She was praying and seeking. All of a sudden, she got up and she went to somebody over here. I don't know what they said. She got her arms around and said something to her, and then she came back and prayed some more. Then she got up again, went to another student, went back, prayed, got up, went back in the congregation. I don't know whether she went to the teachers or to her parents, but she made several trips. But the last trip she made, boy, the fire of God struck her soul. She was on her feet, and she was just shouting and praising God. I mean, she got clear through. Do you remember when something like that happened to you? Do you, friend? Wasn't it wonderful? When everything was cleared up, you knew that every sin was forgiven. And the blessed Holy Ghost witnessed to your heart. Friend, that was marvelous. You know that caught fire during that meeting. It wasn't long till other young people were going to young people and they were going back in the congregation. I mean, night after night it caught fire. And you know, invariably when the young people got every offense cleared up, everything between them and somebody else, when they got it all cleared up, you know what happened? They got the victory. I told the older folk before the meeting was over, I said, you know, I said, if we would do what these young people are doing, I said, some of us older folk could be shouting and rejoicing also. You know, it takes that for young people, though. I mean, you'll have to admit, young people cannot get victory unless they get everything cleared out of the way. Now, that young girl, she could have prayed a little while and got up and testified and said, well, I'm glad everything's clear. But she didn't do that. She was minding the Lord as the Lord showed her what to do. And then she got to her feet and, brother, it was bubbling. It was an artesian well coming forth. Takes that for young people. But aren't you glad the older people can have all kind of offenses and all kind of walls between them, and they can still testify, and they have leading offices in the church. And isn't it wonderful that they can have the victory over the top of all these things? Isn't that marvelous? You say, Brother Newton, I don't think they can have the victory. Well, that's strange. We got so many in our churches like that. You know, there was a preacher in our conference years ago. He pastored one of the larger churches. And then there was another preacher in the same district, and he pastored a smaller church. And I don't know to this day what happened. I really don't. I just know when we had our caucus meeting at conference and the people from the district voted, they elected the preacher that was pastoring the small church as their district chairman rather than the other one. Now, it wasn't long after that till my wife got a call. I was away at the time. She got a call, and this preacher, pastor of the larger church, he said, Sister Newton, could you get a message to Brother so-and-so for me? She thought that was quite strange. And she did, and then in turn, he called back, and she got the message back. Friend, this happened several times during the year. Even when I was home, I took the message. And I thought to myself, why can't these fellows, why can't they correspond with one another? Why can't they? And you know, it came time for the recall of pastors, and or for the church to at least call a pastor. And this fellow that pastored the larger church, he came to me on the conference grounds there at Knoxville. He said, "Brother Newton," he said, "I feel like the Lord wants me to go back to the church that I'm pastoring." He said, "If it's okay with you," he said, "I'm going to let them vote on me. I'm going to let my name run." I said, "That's fine." I said, "That's all right with me." But I said, "Just one thing, brother." I said, "If you let your name run and you are recalled, called back to your church," I said, "there's just a little matter that I want to help you take care of." I said, "I'm going to take you to brother so-and-so, who is the district chairman. I'm going to take you to him." And I said, "We're going to sit down and we're going to find out why you fellows can't communicate with one another and get everything cleared up so that you don't have to call me or my wife." He looked at me so peculiar. Well, he said, "Okay, all right, Brother Newton." He went away and came back in about 4 hours. I think he went and talked with his wife. I hate to say that. But in about four hours, he came back to me. He said, "Brother Newton," he said, "I want to let my name run, but," he said, I don't feel like I can do what you're asking of me." And he did. He let his name run. And he was voted back into the church by one vote, one over the majority. That's not that way among you Midwest pilgrims. They have to have 2/3, don't they? Something like that. Anyway, he got up before the church and told them, he said, "I appreciate your confidence in giving me a recall for the coming year." But then he paused. He said, "But I'm not going to accept the call." He said, "Your conference president," I was his also, but he said, "Your conference president is requiring something out of me that I just don't feel like I can do. So," he said, "as of certain such a day, I'll be leaving the church." And he did. He resigned. He left the church. And not only that, but he resigned from our connection, joined another group. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have to face your situation. You don't have to clear up the offense. You can run. But no matter where you go geographically, you're going to take your problem with you. And he took his problem with him. You say, "Brother Newton, do you really feel like you had the right to tell him that you wanted to take him to..." I certainly do. Friend, for years, I've tried my best to be a mediator between people. When I saw that there was a conflict, I have tried in churches and across the holiness movement to get holiness people together and try to clear up an offense before it caused a terrific division. And I think I have scripture to back me up. You've read it many times. But I say again, this is one of those scriptures that's mighty hard for people to obey. Oh, they can obey the one where it says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." They'll obey the scriptures where it says, "We're to dress modest." But friend, when it comes to this scripture, why in the world aren't we willing to obey it? Matthew 5:23-24. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Our Jesus was just simply saying, if you really want to pray through, you want to get a prayer cleared through. By the way, friend, How long has it been since you prayed through? You know, there's such a thing as praying, but then there's that praying through. And a lot of people are just praying for a while. They eventually quit trying to pray. When you can't get your prayers above the ceiling, friend, I'll tell you, prayer is hard work, sure enough. How long has it been since you prayed clear through? I mean, you heard from heaven. The windows of heaven opened up. God blessed you. Oh, friend, it's wonderful to maintain that first love. That, I mean, just to maintain that where you can keep on getting through. Jesus was just simply saying, if you want to pray through, well, then if you happen to be praying and you all of a sudden remember a brother or sister, or maybe there's a cross up in the home, if you just remember there's an offense, he said, don't try to pray anymore. Just get up and go to your brother or sister. Do everything in your power to clear up the offense, to bring about reconciliation. And said, then come and bring your gift. He said, I'll answer you then. You know, friend, it's amazing how we pray. Us as holiness folk, we just pray. We're not getting very far, so we start praying louder, and then we start beating the air, and then we get maybe sometime even foaming at the mouth. Oh, God! And all the time, that little offense between you and that brother or sister. And it's amazing how it won't move until you go and do something about it. Friend, it would shock you beyond measure if you knew how many little offenses there are between a lot of people in our churches and even in our homes. You said, but Brother Newton, I've been to somebody before. Well, a lot has to do with how you went to them. Now, if you went to them to straighten them out, you probably didn't get much help. But I'll tell you, if you go in the Spirit of Christ, go willing to let them trample on you, wipe their feet on you if necessary, in order to bring about reconciliation and get the matter cleared up. Friend, it'll work. Oh, I know it won't work every time because you've got some people that don't want to be reconciled. Didn't take me long to find that out. You say, Brother Newton, do you practice this? I wish my wife was here. Brother, I certainly do practice this. I've practiced it for years. I've been to I don't know how many people when I found out that they had something against me. And by the way, if I find out any of you folk have anything against me before this meeting's over, I'll be on your doorstep also. Amen. You say, why, Brother Newton? Because I love it when I can pray through. Oh, friend, I like it a lot better when there's no offense between myself and somebody else. Did you know tonight that this little preacher is preaching to you tonight? Do you know there's not an individual on the face of the earth that I know of that has an offense or has something against me that I haven't already been to and did everything I could to try to get it cleared up? And I have spent hours going to individuals trying to keep everything clear. And friend, I'll have to go to others if I live much longer. I'll have to go in order to keep things cleared up. Oh, you said, Brother Newton, why? Why does the Lord want you to go to somebody? Well, there's some reasons why he wants you. He didn't say, now, if you've got something against somebody, He said, if you know they've got something against you. You see, friend, you won't be praying clear through and having the victory if you've got something against somebody. You said, but that's not right. Brother Newton said, my, I said, it wasn't my fault, it was their fault. Well, it may be like that, but that's what the Lord said to do. Said, if you know it's their fault and they've got something against you, you go to them. That's what he said. And do everything in your power to bring about reconciliation. He said, well, what if they won't be reconciled? And there are those that won't be reconciled. Some people won't be reconciled because they'd have to back up or back down, you know, and humble themselves. There's some folk among the holiness crowd that won't humble themselves. They got a bless God religion. They got bless God. I don't back up for anybody. No, you sure don't. But if you get what I got in my heart, you'll back up. I'll tell you, genuine holiness has a reverse gear in it. And some people don't want to be reconciled because they're afraid they'll lose face. I'm looking at some of you. It wouldn't hurt you to lose the face you got. Some people don't want to be reconciled because, oh man, if I admit I'm wrong, I'll lose power. No, you won't, friend. You'll gain power from above. Some people don't want to be reconciled because, well, it was stop the fight. You'd be surprised how many folk among us, they sort of judge their experience by how many other people they can fight. Friend, God didn't call us to fight each other. He called us to fight sin and the devil and everything that's wicked and wrong. We're supposed to love each other. And we're supposed to submit one to another. Isn't that good religion? Well, the Lord wants you to go to that individual that has something against you because, you know, it just might clear up the understanding. The offense might dissolve. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you all of a sudden found yourself in fellowship with this brother that... Friend, that's why the Lord wants you to go to them, because you can fellowship again. And then another reason he wants you to go to them is because when you go to them, if they're not willing to humble themselves, they'll probably lie. Did you ever have anybody lie to you? I went to one lady, I knew she had something against me. She had dodged me too many times. She'd gone through the benches. She'd do everything she could not to speak to me. And she was the adult Sunday school teacher. Now, if we had some very distinguished people, like in an IHC convention, and, you know, they were standing there talking with, oh, she'd come up then and she'd just be so nice, you'd never think. Why, no, she doesn't have anything against you, but other than that, you know, it's amazing how some people, my, they'll be so deceitful just to get the approval of other people. Well, I told my wife, I said, we've got to go see Sister So-and-so. And we did. Brought up the matter after we'd talked a little. Why, no. Of all things. No, Brother Newton, I don't have anything against you. Well, I'm sorry. I came. I'd do everything I could to bring about reconciliation and clear up anything. I said, I sure felt like it. I said, you know, you did pass, but maybe you were just going that way. So we threw it off. But you know, it wasn't long until it happened again. It happened again. I told my wife, I said, honey, we've got to go see Sister Soane. We went the second time and did everything we could to clear up the offense. Of all things. No, Brother Newton, I don't have anything against you. About 10 years later, I was in my office one day. Phone rang. Brother Gibson, you know who it was. It was this adult Sunday school teacher. It was this lady that I had been to twice. You know what she said? Oh, Brother Newton. She said, tragedy has struck. Oh, she said, I've got to get a hold of God. She said, Brother Newton, she said, would you forgive me? She said, you know I've had something against you. I said, well, sure, I knew that. I said, my wife and I came to you and tried to get the matter. Well, she said, yeah. She said, I know. But she said, I did. I had something against you, and I'm so sorry. I want you to forgive me. I said, well, sister, you've been forgiven all along. You know, she'd have died before she got back to me. Oh, she would have gone to heaven, all right, wouldn't she? I'm afraid not, friend. And I don't want to be unkind, and I don't want to be unmerciful. But you remember that servant the Lord forgave such a 10,000 talents. One commentator said that was $291 million if it was gold talents. And here a brother comes to him, 100 pence. That's $17 in our money. And this fellow that had been forgiven so much would not forgive, but had him cast into prison until he could pay the debt. Brother, when they brought that to the Bible says the Lord of that servant was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors until he should pay the debt. And then Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So friend, even though the preacher would got up and preached her right into heaven, oh, such a good woman, belonged to the church out there, she's taught the Sunday school lesson for all these years. But she held a grudge against me for 10 years, had unforgiveness in her heart. And even when you went and tried to clear up the offense, she lied about it. That's why the Lord wants you to go to them, because they may lie and it might be the only thing in the world that'll ever shake them up and make them, hey, I lied to him. And another reason the Lord wants you to go to that brother that trespass against you is because he might blow his top. I have been to some. Oh, when you confronted them with the issue that you were trying to clear, my, they blew their top and had an old carnal spell. And really, friend, some people will never make it to heaven if something doesn't come their way that will cause them to explode and realize, hey, you got something down on the inside that ought not to be there. And then another reason the Lord wants you to go to them is because rather than face the issue, they might do like the brother that I was talking about. They may just leave the church, or they may leave the connection. I've had some to even leave the school when I said to them, well, we're going to this brother. We're going to get this matter cleared up. And the next thing I knew, they resigned from the school and went to another school to teach. And I never did hear from the administrator of that school or from the pastor. Never did hear that they wanted a recommendation or anything. Friend, you can resign. You can run. But it doesn't clear up the matter. Then another reason the Lord wants you to go quickly to them is because it'll snowball. I mean, the longer you wait, the bigger it gets. And after a while, these little offenses, if they're not cleared up, these little misunderstandings, they get a click going here. And after a while, it develops into a big division or split in the church. And we wonder, why in the world did that happen? It wouldn't have happened if you would have obeyed the Scripture and gone to your brother or your sister. You know, I've got a feeling I'm preaching holiness. Amen. Well, Jesus said, if you want to get your prayers through, if you want to hear from heaven, and you know somebody has just a little something against you, go clear it up. That's what he said. And while you're talking with them, even if you're part to blame, why, just forgive. And put it behind you. I could go on and on, but I don't want to keep you too long tonight. Let me mention this. We did have two teachers that taught, both of them taught a number of years in our school there at Salisbury. They were good teachers. But I don't know what happened. One of them was quite a disciplinarian, and the other one, she wanted to let the kids by, especially her kids when they got in school. And I don't know what happened, but something came up between these two. And so during the summer, I was trying to make sure we were going to have a staff for the coming year. And so I went to this one lady and talked to her. Oh, yes, she said, Brother Newton said, I plan to teach. She said, by the way, said, is Sister so-and-so, is she going to come back? I said, oh, I haven't talked to her yet, but I think she will. Oh, she said, yeah, I want to teach, she said. So I left her and went to the other lady. Oh, yes, she said, yes, I plan to teach. By the way, she said, is Sister so-and-so, is she planning to teach this coming? I said, yes, I said. Whew. Boy, I saw what I was up against. And neither one of them wanted to go and be reconciled. Neither one of them wanted to clear up the offense. You say, well, what did you do, Brother Newton? Well, I knew one thing. If you've got two supervisors or two monitors in your learning center that's crossed with one another, boy, it doesn't take the students a half a day until they pick that up. And so I prayed about it and decided the Lord didn't want me to invite either one of them back. And I didn't. I went out, reached out, and got some other folk in to teach in our school. Now, one of them really got upset at me. Boy, it was quite a while before she put down her arms, because she was up in arms. But I finally went to her, and I let her know the reason why, and she's a dear friend of ours today. But listen, friend, you can't have people teaching in a learning center or a school when they're at odds with one another, crossed up. But you'd be surprised how much of this is in our churches and in our Christian schools and in our connections. Let me close with this. I went to church sometime back, about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And I was preaching somewhat along this line. And there was a young pastor there. He acted like the message startled him. Just seemed like it shot him and shocked him. He came to me, that night after we got back to the parsonage, he said, Brother Newton, he said, make yourself at home tomorrow. He said, I won't be here tomorrow. He said, I've got some things to take care of. He said, I'll be in for the evening meal. And you know, that young fellow went out to several people that he knew, some of them in his own church that had something against him, humbled himself. He evidently got a bunch of things cleared up. He came to service the next night, and I tell you, he was in sky blue victory, and some of the people that he had been to, it shook them, and they got up, and they were confessing out and straightening up with one another in the church. He said, well, what in the world happened? Lord, increase our faith. What happened? Why, friend, when God's people get the offenses cleared up, when they get the barriers down, the walls down, then anything can happen. But the glory, I mean, God comes in the midst. And, brother, God swept in on that Friday night service, and we had an altar service, and then Saturday night, a tremendous altar service. Sunday morning, no preaching. Sunday night, again, a tremendous altar service. Friend, it's not hard for God to get to the backslider or get to the sinner when God's children have obeyed the word, cleared up the offenses, and decided we're going to have revival. We want our faith increased. Praise the Lord. I hope we want our faith increased. I hope we want to see an old-fashioned revival to the extent that if we know of anybody that has something against us, we'll put forth the effort. We'll go to them and see if we can get the matter cleared up. Would you stand with us?